I know all of our bass singers are appreciative. They added a bass singer. Amen, Mike Dunlop.
That's right, Mike Dunlop.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. We are. It's good to be in the house of the Lord anytime God allows us to be in the house of the Lord. But it's particularly good to be in the house of the Lord today because of what has transpired in our nation this past week. Our nation's in trouble, ladies and gentlemen. You didn't hear me. Our nation is in trouble. But I'm grateful to God today to know that my God has not changed. My Savior is still on the throne. And I hope you'll understand, as a born-again believer in Jesus, if you're born again, there's a higher court than the Supreme Court of the United States of America. 9 unelected officials in our land do not dictate to us what we should do as far as a believer in Christ. There's a final authority. So I want to ask you a personal question. Do you believe, personal question, not corporately, personal question, do you believe the Word of God is all inspired, it's God breathed out, without error? Do you believe that today? It actually didn't shock me necessarily. It saddened me more than anything that as a pastor of a Baptist church, when the ruling came down that the Supreme Court now has made into law, which that's a problem anyway, that's another sermon, but has made into law that same-sex marriage is now legal in all 50 states of America, it saddened my heart to go on Facebook and see supposed Christian people that are stamping their approval on it. Here's a second question for you. Do we live by emotion? By that meaning, do we go by what we feel? Or do we go by and live our lives by, thus saith the Word of God? It's the law, and that's the title of our sermon today. It's the law. Genesis chapter 2, please find that portion of Scripture today. Here's my heart. I've been talking to the Lord about this the last couple of days. The Lord Jesus knows my heart. I told my wife, my desire today is to not preach mean-spirited. That doesn't help people. When preachers use the pulpit for a whipping post, that's just a personal vendetta. I don't want to do that. And by God's grace, I don't know that I've ever done that to you. I made a promise to you as your pastor 12 and a half years ago that if I ever had a problem with you biblically, I would come to you individually first and talk to you about that. I would hope that you would do the same with your pastor. Amen. If you have a problem, aren't you, by the way, aren't you happy today? I ironed my handkerchief. I sent Brother Brian and Brother Stephen a picture of my ironed handkerchief, and I'm so excited about my ironed handkerchief today. I don't want to be mean-spirited, and God is my witness, I don't want to do that. But I want to help you today. Here's my question, first of all. If you're 18, actually, let's do this. If you're 25 years or younger, will you please stand? 25 years or younger. Sit down, Brian Erspershaw, if you're not 25. The rest of us look around. Say, preacher, why are you making us stand? I'll tell you why I'm making you stand. We're praying for you. the America that I came to know as a little boy has changed. It saddens me. I want to talk to you just for a second personally. You will hear propagated throughout our land, young people, you will hear that anyone that disagrees with this Supreme Court decision is a bigot, they're prejudiced, they're not tolerant, they're intolerant. That's not true. The same Constitution that gives us freedom of religion is the same Constitution that gives me the right to have an opinion. And it gives you the right to have an opinion. You say, Pastor, what do we do? It's the law now. There's a higher court where my Lord rules and reigns. You say, Preacher, is it going to get scary? It may. Will it become difficult for churches? I believe that. Will it become a situation where pastors could possibly be imprisoned because they're stand against this law in our land? It may come to that. But prayerfully, God will give pastors backbones like a railroad cross tie, and God will give pastors boldness as well as believers in Christ. Give us the boldness to take a stand against the culture. God has always called his children to be counterculture. We don't, the culture, young people, please look at your preacher. The culture should never dictate how we live our life. The culture, and I'm not against styles, I'm not against necessarily fads for the sake of fads. I won't raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass you. Have anybody used a VCR in the last 12 days? Things change. Some of us have. Jen, did you raise your hand? Oh my goodness. Things change. But from the authority of the Word of God, young people, God has not changed his mind on what marriage is. Don't believe the lie. I watched news the other day, our local news. Of course, they had a reporter there in Ferndale. And I find it interesting that everybody he interviewed and put on camera was so excited about the decision. And he's pushing that, and they're saying, oh, everybody's for it, everybody's for it. That's a lie that they're propagating. That's a lie that they're pushing, that everybody is for it. That's not true. On a state level, they're not for it. If they were to put that to a vote to the American people, it would be destroyed. I really believe that. But this reporter, everybody he put a camera in front of, oh, they were for it. And then he reached in his pocket and he pulled out a little note. And he goes, oh, I didn't get this person on camera, but he was a local pastor. And he said that he really isn't for the decision. And they went to another. You think that's by accident? You think it's by accident that they'll put a camera and a microphone in front of every liberal person that has a different ideology than what the Word of God says? My challenge to you, it's a challenge to you today. If you know Jesus as your Savior, young people, my challenge to you as your preacher, in love, don't be mean-spirited. We'll talk about towards the end of the sermon. Don't be critical. Don't be mean-spirited. You know, the homosexuals, they are not our enemies, right? They are not our enemies. We love them. We pray for them. So don't be mean-spirited. Don't poke fun of. Don't make fun of. Don't lower yourself to humiliate. I'm not for that. Christians should never do that. We can have a disagreement without becoming disagreeable, right? But you take a stand for Jesus. That's my challenge to you, young people. You take a stand for Jesus Christ, and you honor him. Because one of these days, every one of us, one of these days, we will stand face to face with Jesus Christ, the Lord God, and give an account of our lives. Genesis chapter 2, everyone else, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Young people, if you need to grab your Bible, please do that. If you do not have a Bible, there's one in front of you. You can share. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." The context, the backdrop, the contextual aspect is God had created all of the animals, young people. God had created all the animals. Adam has named them. But God began to look around and he realized there wasn't any of those animals that was like man that he created. Young people, from the heart of your preacher and on the authority of the Word of God, you are not a descendant of the apes. You're not. You say, "Preacher, that, are you saying that to laugh? Are you saying that to joke?" No, because that is what is being taught in our public school system all throughout this country. That we descended, yeah. Some of you may act like you do and have, but you're not. You are the handiwork of a loving Creator who brought you into existence. God gave you life. And the Bible says, the Lord God said, "It is not good," verse 18, "that man should be alone. We'll make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And notice what God did. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Someone asked, why did Adam name her woman? Why didn't he name her woman? Can you see Adam seeing her for the first time? Whoa, man. I can see him doing that, can't you? Whoa, man. And the Bible says, and Adam said, look what Adam says in verse 23, young people especially. All of you that stood that first time, I want you to see this. And Adam said, this is beautiful. This is now, and he's looking at her. For those of us that are married, do you remember the first time you laid eyes on who would be your bride? The most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and we're not ashamed. Father, we love you. We're so grateful for who you are. It's a sad day in our country, Father. We have drifted so far from you. We have drifted so far from our founding as a nation. But Lord Jesus, we ask you, dear God, that you'll bring our country back to you. God, you saw the young people that stood in this room. They're being inundated with lies. They're being inundated, Lord, with a plethora of ideologies, Lord, that are against your Bible. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll give them, as believers in Christ, for those of them that are saved, and all of us that are saved in this room, Lord, that you'll give us boldness, that you'll give us compassion, that you'll give us conviction and courage, Lord, to stand for your word without being mean-spirited about it. Lord, we acknowledge we've sinned against you as a nation. We continue to sin against you as a country. We spit in your face. We laugh in your face. As churches, Lord Jesus, sometimes the way we live, our lifestyles, Father, please forgive us. We need your mercy. We ask for your forgiveness as a country. And Lord Jesus, please bring us back to stand on your word. I know, God, it looks bad. And I know, Lord, there's many maybe in this room that seem that this is hopeless. But Father, your word declares that the heart of the king is in your hand. So Lord God, I pray, save our president. He needs you, Lord. He's a wicked man. And God, that's not political. That's just by observance as a child of God, the fruit or lack thereof. Lord, we need a special touch from you today. Bless us, God, we pray, Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. He said, preacher, why does it sadden you? Why are you emotional about it? Well, I'll tell you why. I love this country. I love the United States of America. God in his grace, God in his mercy, God in his sovereign plan allowed me to be born American citizen. And I still love this country. Don't you? Just because the Supreme Court made that decision doesn't change the fact that I love this land. It's still, I love this country. I'm grateful to God for the Lord Jesus and what he has blessed us with as a nation. Yes, there's been bad decisions. Yes, there has been ungodly decisions that have been made. I posted on Facebook where shortly after the decision that was made a verse of scripture, and it said that Ahab, he made a grove. And the Bible says, Ahab did more to provoke, he was a king, he did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than any other king that was before him. I don't know necessarily all the former presidents as far as all the what they did or what they didn't do, but just by way of observance. And now let me also say this, and God knows my heart, I'm not here as a political person. I'm not here as a political platform to rip the Democrats, Republicans, the independents. They're all guilty. They're all guilty. Pastors are guilty. Churches are guilty. Born-again children of God, we all stand guilty for allowing this nonsense to go on in our country. It saddens us. It should sadden us. It should break our heart to the way our country has drifted away from the Word of God. But let me show you, and I hope you'll take notes, especially young people. This is one of the most serious messages I've ever preached in my ministry. You say, yeah, pastor, everybody has a right to be happy. Everybody has a right to, to do what feels good to them. Listen, friend, we're not here, and I'm not here to debate person's feelings. I'm not here to debate personal choices of people. But what I am here is to show you, hopefully and prayerfully, by the help of the Holy Spirit of God, that the marriage institution is never, should never, ever be up for debate. It is non-negotiable. You say, preacher, why is that? Well, notice, first of all, notice the God of marriage. The Bible tells us a story here. It's really the recording of the first marriage in the history of mankind. It's the first marriage that God records for us in the Word of God. Adam, the first man God created, and God brings a woman to him. He creates a woman actually from one of Adam's ribs. It's interesting that oftentimes people may wonder, why did God take a rib? I think it was my pastor I heard say that God took a rib because, you think God took a rib because it was close to the heart of Adam, and really, honestly, truly, that should be where a husband and wife are. That should be, she should be close to his heart. You see, so the Bible tells us that God is the one. Notice the text here, young people. Look at verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Can you imagine being Adam? Surrounded by animals. God brings a cow by him. He calls it cow. God brings this animal by him. God, a bird, oh, calls that a bird. God brings this animal, calls it that. But there was nobody for Adam. There was nobody like Adam. There was nobody for him. There was nobody that he could relate to on an intimate level. Personal, intimate, spiritual, emotional, physical level. There was no one that he could relate to. So the Bible says, God said, I will. The I there is Jehovah God. I will make him a helpmeet. I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, by way of this passage, I'm thankful that we have a God that cares for his children. We have a God that loves us. We have a God. And by the way, the big push today, as you'll hear, and that's all you ever hear on liberal media especially, all you ever hear is, God is a God of love. Amen. Yes, he is. He is a God of love. Young people, God is a God of love. But may I also remind us, as God's people, he is also a God of judgment. He is also a God, young people especially, adults here, your preacher. He is also a God that regardless of our culture, he is a God that will absolutely hold us accountable for our choices. We live in a culture that doesn't like accountability, do they? We live in a culture that wants to do whatever they want and not have any repercussion for it. Here's a news. No, let me something hot off the presses. Hot off the presses. If you're a law-abiding citizen, it's better for you to be a law-abiding citizen than a lawbreaker. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, for example, if you get on the highway and you get in your car, especially if you have a Hemi motor. They like to run, man. And let's say speed limit says 70 miles an hour. But you make a conscious choice, you're going to do 110. Well, I have a right. I have a right. I'm a free person to choose as an American. I have a free choice. I'm going to do 110 miles an hour. Well, I don't suggest that. But if you do decide to make that conscious choice to do that, and you do decide to go against what the law has said, that 70 miles an hour is the right speed, the legal speed, you decide to do 110, don't be surprised if they don't pull you over and drag you out of the car and maybe tase you, right? You say, oh, but preacher, I have a right. Yeah, you have a right, but understand, the law, there is a law, there is order. There should be. So we have a right to make choices, but understand, yes, we have a right to make choices, but we cannot decide the consequences of those choices. So please understand it. The originator, the God of marriage. The Bible says, God said, I will make him a helpmeet for him. God was the originator. He designed it. What was his design of marriage? We see in the text. Here's the text. The Bible goes on. Out of the ground, verse 19. Adam gave names to cattle, verse 20. Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Verse 21. He slept. He took one of his ribs, clothed the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. When Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew chapter 19, hold your place in Genesis and turn to Matthew 19 just for a moment. Jesus Christ was in, there were some lawyers in Jesus' day that were trying to trick up, to trick the Lord and trying to trip him up and trying to get him to say something that was against the written word of God, against the Old Testament law. And they were always trying to do that. Well, Jesus Christ, he was asked a question concerning divorce. He's asked a question concerning the putting away of a man's wife. And Jesus tells us here in Matthew 19, verse 1, it came to pass that when Jesus had finished his sayings, he departed from Galilee and came to the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Verse 3, Matthew 19:3.
And the Pharisees also came to him, tempting him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Is it lawful for him to divorce her? You see, what was happening, especially in the first century, men would divorce their wife for any reason. They burned the biscuits, divorce her. I mean, that's crazy, some of the things, what they would do. And, but notice what else it says. Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, young people, look at verse 4. If you're looking at your Bible, say, young people, if you're looking at your Bible or a copy of the Word of God, say, I'm looking at it. Got your copy of your Word of God? If you don't have, make adults, please let these young people see this verse. Remember what I asked you very intentionally. I asked you right at the beginning of this sermon, is this the Word of God? I ask you, is it without error? I ask you, is this the God-breathed out word from Jehovah God? And you said, yes, it is. So if this is the God-breathed word, God breathed it out, like the Bible says, if this is the Word of God without error, and that's significant, without error, let's see what God has to say about it. So Jesus has asked a question about marriage. You know, it'd do us well as a country to ask the one who originated and instituted marriage what he still thinks about marriage. Well, he hasn't changed his mind. So notice what Jesus says in verse 4. And he answered and said to them, have ye not read? I would add, that's the problem in our country. We don't read it. As churches, we don't, collectively, as believers in Jesus, we don't read the Bible like we should. You say, oh, preacher, yeah, I mean, I read it sometimes. This book could change your life. This book will change your life. Jesus says, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning. What's the context, young people? Let me stop you. What's the context? What's he talking about? Young people. Well, what's Jesus? What's the subject of conversation? What's the topic that Jesus is discussing in this passage of Matthew 19? Anybody? What's he talking about, Matt? He's talking about marriage. Is he not talking about marriage? Or is he talking about something else, Freddie? What is he talking about? He's talking about marriage, right? So Jesus is talking about marriage. It's important if Jesus, here's a thought. If Jesus is about to say something about marriage, we should listen very intently. We've heard what the Supreme Court has said. We've heard what the law of our land has now said and passed and says it's legal in all 50 states. They've now redefined what marriage is. So the question is, has God redefined it? No, he hasn't redefined it. Look at the text. Verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them, read it with me, young people, male and what? Male and what? Female. From the beginning. From the very first marriage ever recorded in the history of mankind. From the beginning. Jesus says, haven't you read? He created a male and female. Male and female. Not to bore you with big terms, young people, but just hear me for a moment. We live in a culture that does everything they can to tell you that there are no absolute truths in this world. Anytime somebody says there's no absolute truths, I want to ask them, are you absolutely sure? Right? They want to tell you that truth is not, there's no absolute truth. Truth is subjective, is what they'll say. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? They'll say that what's true for you isn't necessarily true for me. Let me ask you a question. I'm 43 years old, young people. I'm a little bit older than most of you. You correct me if I'm wrong. Is that not a concept in our culture, right? What's true for me may not be true for you. Let me ask you this. Do you young people, please correct me. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just
just out of it, outdated here. But I think I'm right. Do we not live in a culture that has the idea that if it feels good, do it? Am I right, kids? Young people? Am I right? So the question is this. By identification as a believer in Christ, and by testimony, the majority of us are in this room. If you haven't trusted Jesus, we're going to give you an opportunity to trust Christ before you walk out of this room. As a believer in Jesus Christ, should we live our life, question, that demands an answer in the quietness of your heart or out loud, however you want to do it. Should we live our lives by the, if it feels good, do it? Or should we live our lives by what God says? Thank you, adults. I appreciate that. I really do. I'm asking you, young people. It's a question that demands a verdict. Do we live? Because that's what the world, you said to me just a moment ago. The world says, oh, what's truth for you may not be truth for me. If I wake up tomorrow and say, I don't want to be a man anymore, I want to be a woman. Are you kidding me? I'd be the ugliest woman you've ever seen. But that's the craziness of our culture. Are you kidding me? Jesus said, have you not read that from the beginning he created them male and female, not male and male or female and female. I'm not insulting anyone. Just hear my heart. God said, his word says, God created them male and female. Whoa, man. Amen. Whoa, man. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. This culture has lost any part of a moral compass that it's ever had. It's lost it. You say, preacher, is it a big deal that they've redefined marriage and now legally a man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman? Okay, I want to marry my chihuahua. I want to marry her. She loves me. Excuse me. She doesn't like to be called chihuahua. She likes to be called Mexican pitbull. But I feel like, say, preacher, you're acting silly. No, stay with me. Let's flesh out. Let's process this ideology, young people. I want to marry my chihuahua. I feel like I want to marry her. Okay, let's get off of that one. What about thou shalt not kill? That's a law of God. That's a law in our land. What happens if I wake up and say, well, you know what? I decided I don't really want to have that. I want to become a murderer. You say, preacher, why are you saying that from the pulpit? No, just flesh out the ideology for a moment. Do we live by what we feel? And by the way, I have no desire to do that. A couple cats maybe, but never a chihuahua. Why? Because there are laws that God has ordained. But young people, I know you don't understand this maybe, and you don't necessarily agree with your preacher, but on the authority of the Word of God, and please feel free to prove me wrong. I'm not here to stand up just so I can be, look what I know, and look how great of a preacher I am. That is not my heart. God knows my heart. God is my witness. I'm not here to brag on me. I'm just here to get us to understand that there are some laws of God that are foundational to the Bible, and they are foundational to our country. So, preacher, you're pretty fired up about that. Yeah. Matthew 19:4. He which made them at the beginning made them male and female. This is Jesus speaking, young people. This is God in flesh. This is the Savior that the Ball Brothers sang about today and did a fantastic job. This is the Savior who would die on the cross of Calvary, be buried, rise again the third day. And this is the Savior speaking. The same Savior speaking that changed my life as a 16-year-old kid. That he which made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave. Verse 5. The word cleave literally means to be joined together. And they twain shall be one flesh. Verse 6, wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. What God had joined together, let not man put asunder. Go back to Genesis and let's kind of finish this up. There's so much in this. God designed it. God designed marriage. And for the young people, maybe even adults, because it was not only young people, it was adults as well. On Facebook. They changed their Facebook cover to include the homosexual flag. Oh, did you see our White House yesterday? Show the White House, guys. Show a picture of the White House. You got it? That's what your White House looked like last night. That's a mockery in the nostrils of God. Please take that off the screen. Everywhere you turn, every media outlet, they're trying to tell you, what's the law of the land now? That may be true. It's actually not even true. They stepped out of there what they were supposed to. Congress has to take care of it. But anyway, well, for lack of civics classroom there today. You say, yeah, but preacher, what's wrong if two people want to be happy? Call it what it is then. Don't redefine it. Call it what it is then. Don't redefine it. A man with a man is not marriage. A woman with a woman is not marriage. Oh, but let me go on. A man shacked up with a woman is not marriage. A woman shacked up with a man is not marriage. I married this pretty little girl a little over 20 years ago. We've been married. In the eyes of God and in the eyes of our country, we've been married for over 20 years. The Bible says, he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And it goes on and says, and he has found favor with God. That little lady right there on that second row is my good thing. Amen? She's my good thing, my sweet thing, my buttercup. I love her with all my heart. Man with a man is not marriage. Woman with a woman is not marriage. A man living with a woman in a sexual relationship way, not married, it's not marriage. I've heard people over the years say, oh, preacher, we're just as good as married. Oh, preacher, it's just a piece of paper. No. Well, if all it is a piece of paper, put your name on it. Right? If you're not ashamed of that, put your name on it. If I'm not mistaken, did not our forefathers put their name on some documents? Young people, I promise you this. If you honor God in your relationships, God will honor you. God will bless your life. God will bless your home. God will bless your marriage. Wait for the one God has for you. If God is a God that doesn't change, and God was the one that saw Adam's need, college kids especially hear your preacher's heart. If God, the creator of Adam, was a God that knew Adam's need, do you think he knows your need? Do you think he knows what you need? Sure he does. You say, preacher, I just can't find anybody. I just can't find a husband. I just can't find a wife. Be careful, though. Wait on God. Wait on the Lord. It's better to wait on God and marry the one he has for you than to marry the wrong one and it be hell on earth. I've seen that in marriages. I've seen it. The God of marriage, the gift of marriage. What was marriage for? I hear people, and it's true, it's partly true. Well, marriage was for procreation. Yeah. But do you also realize marriage, yes, for procreation. God said be fruitful, multiply. And by the way, every single one of you in this room, it took a man and a woman to make you. Right? A man and a man can't accomplish that. A woman and a woman can't accomplish that. It's impossible. You say, yeah, but there's adoption. Yeah, okay. You're right. But do you also realize that it took a man and a woman to make the child that you've adopted? You say, ah, preacher, why are you boring us with that? My prayer to God is that God awakens us. I sent Stephen a text yesterday. I said, I pray God awakens us. That God brings revival. I told Brother Tommy yesterday. I said, it's a sad day in our culture. And this, just hear my heart. Our young people are watching us. Is that fair to say that? Better yet, let me ask the young people. Young people, have you not observed us as adults? And do you not observe us? Sure they do. They hear how we talk. They see what we do. And I said, Brother Tommy, I said, our young people have watched our marriages for generations. They've watched us as Christian people. We say we're Christian people. And they watch us shack up with people. They watch us do that. They watch us in the church. They watch husbands stepping out on their wives in adulterous affairs. They watch wives stepping out on their husbands in adulterous affairs. They watch that. And young people, it's a shame that you have to see that. I'm thankful to God for forgiveness. I'm thankful to God that God forgives the adulterer and the adulteress. I'm thankful to God that God forgives homosexuality. He forgives. You can fill in the sin. You can fill the blank in with any sin you want to list. You say, preacher, do you really believe it's a sin? Don't ask me, ask God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll close with this passage. We'll finish it up next Sunday, Lord willing. Normally today would have been a patriotic kind of sermon. But as your pastor who loves you and deeply cares for you, I had to speak into this. Quit buying into the lies. Please quit buying into the lies. Look up here for a minute. Young people especially, but even adults, Quit letting the media make your decision for you. Are you kidding me? Make your own decision. That's why when you walk into a voting booth, oh, by the way, presidents are the ones that appoint Supreme Court justices. Just keep that in the back of your mind when you go into the voting booth. I don't ever tell you who to vote for. If you ask me who I'm voting for, I tell you, but not from the pulpit. I don't tell you who you should and who you shouldn't vote for. That's between you and the Lord. As a Christian, as your pastor, I would strongly encourage you to vote biblically, vote for a candidate that stands closest to the Word of God. You say, why, preacher? Does it really matter? Yes, it does. That's why we're in the mess that we're in. People are not, they don't vote biblically. But again, biblically, so does God forgive? Yes, he does. One of the problems in our culture is we don't want to call things for what they are. Adultery is sin. Fornication is sin. Homosexuality is sin. That's what the Word of God calls it. You say, well, preacher, just want to be happy. I'll go on record and make a statement for you. What people are really looking for, trying the pursuit of happiness, really what they're saying is, I'm trying to fill the void that's in my life. You will not find full satisfaction in any sexual relationship. Full satisfaction comes in the forgiving power of a loving God to forgive you of your sins and save you. That's where full satisfaction comes. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not, Paul's writing to a local church. And oh, by the way, the church at Corinth was a mess. It absolutely was a mess. They had divisions. They had schisms in the body. When the word schism in 1 Corinthians, he'll use divisions and schisms. It's a word picture. It's like a bone out of joint. That's kind of like that church. You ever had a bone come out of or dislocate? I've had that. Knee pops out. Man, it's excruciating pain. That's the imagery that Paul uses to describe how the church at Corinth was. It was a church out of joint. It was a church that had friction. It was a church that had disunity. It was a body that was a mess. So Paul speaks into this, and he says in verse 9, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. A lot of people run around today saying they're a believer in Jesus. A lot of people do. A lot of people do. But yet their lifestyle does not show forth that they're a believer in Jesus. You see, you can talk it all you want. We can talk it all we want. And that doesn't mean we have authentic born-again Christianity. You'll know, Jesus said, by their fruit ye shall know them. If I'm an apple tree and I'm running around here all day saying, I'm a pear tree, there's a problem then, isn't there? I'm not a pear tree, I'm an apple tree. If apple trees are produced in my life, apple trees are produced as a fruit in my life, then it's the good observation, the natural tendency would be to say this. Oh, that's an apple tree. There's apples hanging from its branches. That's an apple tree. That's not watermelons. That's an apple tree. A born-again believer, there should be some fruit that people can see and say, you know what? Boy, I believe by the fruit in their life, they're born-again believers in Christ. Look at the text. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. This is what God says. This is God's word. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Effeminate is a word for homosexual. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners. Paul says, and the inspiration of the Spirit of God shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's strong words. I often wonder, are we doing what we're doing habitually? because we're just not saved to begin with. And we're trying our best to look the part. We're trying our best to look like we're a Christian. The only problem with trying to look like it, you'll never be one trying. You have to repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ to his death and resurrection to save you. He'll save you. He'll change your life. You saw a preacher just, that's kind of strong language. Are you saying that a person that does that isn't saved? Are you saying that a person that commits adultery isn't saved? Are you saying that a person that's homosexual isn't saved? Listen, friend, all I'm saying is this. You better truly do an examination. If you're doing those kinds of things and are acting that way, there's a possibility that you're lost as a goose in a snowstorm. That's pretty lost. Look what Paul says. I love verse 11. He's talking to the membership now, Church at Corinth. And such were, underline the word were. And such were some of you. That's what you used to be. So if I'm interpreting this right, you used to be an adulterer, used to be a fornicator, used to be a homosexual. So now, why aren't they now? Look at the text. And such were some of you, verse 11, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What happened? I'll tell you how they got that. How did they get washed? Here's how they got washed. They got washed just like I got washed as a 16-year-old kid. I bowed my heart and head to God, and I said, God, I know I'm a sinner deserving hell. See, I've said for years, the hardest part's not getting people saved. The hardest part's getting them lost. I'm a sinner, Lord. And I know what my sins, it was my sins that put Christ on the cross. And I said, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. But I said, God, for the first time, I understand that what you did on the cross, you did for me. And I said, God, will you please forgive me of my sins and save me? Believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Paul says, and of such were some of you. But now you are washed. Now you were cleansed from your sins. Now you were born again. You got born again. You said, preacher, what does this world need? It needs Jesus. What does this country need? It needs Jesus. What does our churches need? Why do we act the way we act? Could it be because we're just lost? My little Chihuahua dog barks like a dog. You know why? Because it's a dog. It doesn't meow like a cat. Wouldn't be a cat. Or wouldn't be a dog. It acts the way it is. Nature determines behavior. I hope you hear that. Nature determines behavior. Maybe the whole reason you have trouble with this church thing, you're not saved. Going to church is not a grudge. It's not a, you know, it's not a, we don't have to go to church, but we get to. As a child of God, what a joy to assemble with the brothers and sisters in Christ and serve and worship our Lord. You say, yeah, preacher, you sound like hate speech today. Well, you know what? Honestly, in our country, it may come a time where it will be labeled hate speech if a preacher says anything about homosexuality. So what does the Word of God say? The Word of God says we ought to obey God rather than men. That's the Word of God says in Acts 5. Stand with me, please, for human invitation. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, the Ball Brothers are going to come and sang a song for invitation. But if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, sweet friend, I encourage you right now to repent of your sin. Ask God to forgive you of being a sinner. And by faith, call upon the name of Christ as your only hope of salvation. Disagreeing with people does not make them bigoted. Disagreeing with people does not make it hate speech. We disagree because it is a foundational principle of the Word of God that marriage is God's institution. He is the originator of it. He did it. Male and female created them. He brought them together. That's God's marriage. Our country can do whatever they want to do. It does not change the Word of God. So if you need to be saved, we encourage you to trust Christ right now. Repent, trust the Lord as Savior. Maybe you are saved. Say, preacher, I'm saved. But to be honest with you, I struggle with this whole decision. Part of me is for it because I know people that they seem happy and I know this. It doesn't matter. Are we going to live by feeling or are we going to live by fact? Are we going to live by thus saith the Lord? If we live by feeling, you will be as unstable as the wind. But if you live by the facts of the Word of God, you'll stand on something that will never move. Have conviction. Have conviction. Be ready to give an answer when the Bible says, if we're asked that question. Don't be mean-spirited.